You've noticed that we're beginning St. Luke's Gospel. And we begin with the opening of our Lord's public life. Chapters 1 and 2 are the infancy. Chapter 3 is the baptism. Chapter 4 is the temptation in the desert up to this point. And now, after that temptation, after Jesus has conquered the opposition, he's bound the strong man, and he's now ready to plunder his goods. He begins to preach in Nazareth. Or as you know, it's only Luke who begins here. Mark begins at Capernaum, for instance. Now, that seems to be, somewhat shocking to us, perhaps. But the ancients had such a different understanding of space and time that they were not concerned with that the way we are. So, this is an incident that took place early in our Lord's life. Or perhaps this is the one in Mark. We'll never know till we get to heaven and ask them. But this is the beginning of Jesus' public life. And it begins under the banner of this text in Isaiah. This is in Isaiah 61. It is the last of the servant songs. The servant is speaking again. You remember the servant songs, and they're all about suffering in the early part of Isaiah. And now we have this commission of the servant. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That happened in a particular way at our Lord's baptism, which was just recounted just before the temptations in the desert. He's anointed me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. And he sums up his whole vocation right there. Glad tidings to the poor. And who are the poor? They're the ones who know they're poor. They're the ones who look to God for help. They're the poor. Somebody can have nothing and be arrogant and disobedient to God. And someone can have some of this world's goods and be dependent on God and rejoice in the experience of that dependence. He has sent me, this is the servant still speaking, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord, a year of jubilee, when all debts are canceled, when all land is returned to its owner, a year of jubilee. Now. Now, all Israel pondered this text. It was read often. From the text, we can't be sure whether he unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, whether that was already prescribed for that day, or whether he was free to just find a passage and read it. More likely the first, from all that we know of the liturgical practices of the synagogue. So rolling up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And everybody looked at him. They heard the way he read. They heard those words coming from where they are in him. He is the Word of God. And these words, they are who he is. And so he reads them out. And you can imagine with what power, with what conviction. So they're all looking at him. And he makes this announcement. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, I, the servant, anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring glad tidings, to proclaim liberty, to give sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year of Jubilee. I'm here. I am the one about this, about whom this text was written. He gave them everything they need to know. Paul spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, and this is a meditation for all of us, is not this the son of Joseph? Isn't this less glorious and impressive than we expected? Don't we do that? When the Lord tells us his will, this is not what I expected. I wanted something much more glamorous or comfortable or something. You know, we could say it even about the Lord God himself coming to us this morning in this bread and wine. Is that all? Bread and wine? You see how necessary it is to stay alert. And then he challenged them. He intimated that first, he might not just be destined for Israel. By intimating that he would be having a broader extent, though he was very restricted in his own lifetime. Hear yourself. Do hear the things we heard about in Capernaum. Impress us. Make us believe. And he says, you just heard it, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Nobody is going to be any better than we are. And we're not going to let him. Whoever he thinks he is, he's just one of us. Instead of saying, look what God has done. He's come into our midst. What a wonderful thing. He says the opposite. So he begins to see, to hint, that there rejection has already been intimated. You see. There were many widows in the days of Elijah, but he was only sent to the widow of Zarephath. Not an Israelite. There were many lepers, but Elisha only healed Naaman the Syrian. This is a challenge to them. And so early in his ministry, the whole rhythm of his life is outlined for us. They were filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of town, led him to the brow of a hill so they could throw him over and kill him. Now you know from the newspapers that that part of the world, the culture is such that that's quite likely. And he passed through their midst and went away. Challenge. But as Luke has gathered this together, this visit to Nazareth, he has made it the program of his life. He will be rejected. But he will preach to Zarephath, to Syria, and to the whole world. Now, as we reflect on this opening, and now we'll be reading Luke for quite a while, remember, as Vatican II says, It was Jesus who preached this gospel to us today. He just didn't read in the synagogue. He preached this to us today. Why? To awaken us so that we don't get bored and tired and filled with routine and actually reject him when he comes because it's too ordinary. Maybe something he tells us to do, maybe somebody walking through the door. But it's too ordinary. That's the challenge. Which shows you that the ordinary is beautiful. And the extraordinary is nice. But look at the lives of most of the saints. They passed as very ordinary. And they were not always popular where they were. Look at the way the nuns treated St. Therese or St. Bernadette. Living with them. And but they weren't ordinary enough. Let's ask the Lord today to show us, open up our hearts and minds. Jesus Christ, open us up. Come to us today. Give us the grace to accept you, to embrace you.